Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Hello, welcome to today's episode. I'm Julia Kermode, and today I'm going to be talking to Kelly Forrester. She is a resilience and growth leader, and we're going to talk about her experience when her previous business went under. And we're going to get into it quite deeply about the impact on Kelly personally of going against her values and belief and what it was like to be a once confident leader now crumbled as a result of losing her business. And we do get quite hard hitting, and Kelly shares her experience with brutal honesty. And I think it's quite an important episode, actually, because we all need to understand it's okay for a business to fail. And Kelly, one of the things she does is wants to share her experience so that maybe people like you listening don't have to have the same experience. So let's just get into it.
Well, welcome to today's podcast. I'm joined today by Kelly Forrester, and we're talking about what happens when it goes wrong. And Kelly's very kindly agreed to share her story to help inspire others. And she's had some experience of obviously what's gone wrong. So Kelly, do you want to just give me a short introduction about yourself, and then we'll get into it a bit more?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, firstly, for having me on your podcast show. I believe that our voices can be quite powerful in helping to not just inspire, but to really support and help guide entrepreneurs and business owners. So as a resilience and growth leader, I've chosen to use my voice and share my truths to help other business owners, especially now more than ever in this global pandemic, really helping people to have global strength.
Yeah,
it's so important to me. So I now work one-to-one mentoring other business owners and entrepreneurs, but that wasn't and hasn't been what I've done, you know, for the previous 20 plus years before that. And I really am very, very committed and passionate about helping entrepreneurs succeed in what I see as a new entrepreneurial world.
Okay. So that's really neat, actually. And especially as we know, times are changing. And at the moment, I think a lot of people are considering setting up for the first time. Perhaps they've lost their permanent jobs. And so the purpose of this whole podcast series is to take people through the whole journey. And I think that although we're at the start of this podcast series, I think that having something around when it doesn't go quite to plan is actually quite helpful for people to learn from your experience at the outset. I'm just interested in how did you start? What made you kind of start your business?
So I was at the time, this was in May 2007.
Okay.
And the economy was iffy then. Mm. You know, it wasn't a strong economy. It was pretty rocky. I was a single mum to two boys.
Okay.
I had been an estate agent for about 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a very male-driven kind of industry. So yeah, being a woman and setting up my own estate agency was actually quite a bold statement, really, okay, in itself. I had £12,000 in my bank. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Right. And literally, I have a signature talk, and it's hashtag F-U-C-K fear, because it was that moment for me. It was literally like, if I don't do this now, irrelevant of the external influences that are going on, mm-hmm, not maybe as bad as where we are now, but it was still a pretty rocky economy. Mm-hmm. But if I don't do it now, I'm never going to be able to know whether I've made it or not.
Yeah.
And my version of made it was having my own successful business.
So you almost gave yourself a talking to. It's kind of now or never sort of thing. And I think some of our listeners will probably empathize with that. Yeah. Yeah.
I was 27 at the time.
Gosh.
I started up from my home.
Yeah.
In my kitchen. Yeah. With a little laptop. And literally I set myself my 12 months targets.
Yeah.
So my KPIs. And I knew how many customers I was going to ring. I knew how many you know, new landlords I would attract, I knew mm-hmm. how many properties I had put onto the market. You need to understand quite a lot of the, you need to chunk it down, because it's really important to have goals to kind of aim yeah. for.
Yeah.
So I broke those all down. And I'd achieved everything I wanted to achieve in a year in 5 months. I just kept innovating new products and services, and I loved my team, and, you know, and for 13 years, it was just amazing. The best feeling in the world, seeing something grow from nothing but an idea in your home to a business where, you know, I had 8 staff. We moved again, and mm-hmm. we moved into a prestigious location. You know, I was one of the top agents in my city.
Okay.
Only one of 3 estate agents owned by women. I was one of the first. So it was a really, you know, for me, I was so proud of all my achievements. You are so ingrained in your business as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, that it is more than just a business. It's every day you wake up, I think you mold into becoming your business.
You try and have work-life balance, but it essentially, when you care about it and it's your business, it is part of you.
Yeah. But that can be a massive, and we'll talk about this obviously in a moment or two, but that can also be an Achilles heel there as well for a number of things. And I think one of the bigger, you know, there were quite a few lessons that I learned, but one of them was that I wasn't my business.
When did things start kind of going a bit wrong, and what were the early warning signs?
In 2016, I got divorced.
Okay.
And, you know, for me at that point, I was just coming up for my 10 years celebrations. Mm-hmm. I was winning local and national awards. Fantastic. Which made me so proud.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients have been with me for 9-10 years at that point.
Wow.
And then what happened was I started to feel the pinch.
Okay.
So as my business was growing, cash flow became very tight.
Okay. Yeah.
I then had a sequence of people that I had employed recognizing I needed to come out of working in my business more and start to work on it.
Okay.
So I was trying to kind of get somebody to be more of a manager and drive the business so as I could sit back and look at the departments and keep a better eye on cash flow, but also look at other ways in which I could grow and develop the business, which is really important, because as your business grows, you have to take time out and you have to come out and look at it with a clear mind and get real clarity and focus. Whereas when you're in it and you're running around doing 20 million zillion jobs, it's really hard to get that perspective.
Mm.
Sometimes you fail to see blind spots. And this is why a lot of people work with business mentors, because when you're in it, you can't always see everything.
Yeah.
Including your own mental resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some people break. I think as entrepreneurs, we're wildly driven anyway.
Mm.
So we're quite often driven by pressure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people work really well under stressful conditions. I do. Mm. I like to know that I've got really big deadlines and I'm working towards a bigger end goal.
Mm.
Other people run a million miles and want the time and the, you know, the space and everything else. And we're all very different. We're all programmed differently.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, the first thing was the cash flow and then staffing. When I got things a little bit wrong, so I'd employed somebody who we found out had a different life and had lied and various other things. And then there was another person who got headaches, migraine clusters. And then there was another person. It was about 9 months, maybe even a whole year of not having the right person in the team when I really needed that person.
Right. Yeah.
So I was finding it very difficult to kind of take my head out and do all the things that I had set out to do.
Yeah.
I had a lot of pressure on me at that time. And then cash flow.
Yeah.
And I took out a loan. I took out a loan and I did what's called a PG. Didn't really think very much about it. Had 10 years, you know, refurbished the office, did various things. And you know, for about a year, it was all good again. So I was kind of like, wow, business is growing. It's all going really well. Just about got somebody who came into the team that had started to get some fantastic results.
Mm-hmm.
And then hit cash flow crisis again.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I share this with people is because when you're under an immense amount of pressure and it goes against your values and your belief system, and you end up having to stay strong essentially for so long. So yeah. To the outside world, you're successful, you're smiling, you're happy.
Mm.
Inside, you're really struggling. You know that iceberg vision that a lot of people see, that illustration, beautiful iceberg, but underneath it's all like all this going on underneath. And that was me. And it's a hard place to be. And I think for new entrepreneurs maybe that are starting is just to recognize that there's some real key things here mm-hmm. that I can share that might be able to help them to almost shortcut maybe ever making those same mistakes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean that would be great actually to kind of share some of those things. And was there any one thing that was the tipping point where the writing was on the wall, and what was that, and how did you kind of deal with that?
Yeah, well, I had a business where my overheads were quite high.
Yeah,
I had obviously a shortage of cash flow coming in.
Yeah,
I had to really juggle things around. I found somebody who I thought was going to invest in my business and come in as a 50% shareholder.
Okay.
I didn't do my diligence, so really didn't protect myself either legally.
Okay.
And this went from June to November, and in November things didn't feel right, but I was getting, it was like just getting worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I had discussions at that point with liquidators.
Okay.
And it was pretty stressful all over Christmas. It wasn't until January that I had, because unfortunately when you go into a partnership you need both people to agree to liquidate a business.
Right. Okay.
So giving away some of the control of my business gave away the control element for me to be able to act fast. I had to wait until both parties had given the yes into liquidation or remove him, and that's what I did.
That must have been tough actually, going from someone who's a sole decision maker to then having to get someone else to agree to what you felt is the right decision. That must be really tough.
It was really, really tough.
Mm.
I mean, you know, in my personal life there's been moments where I've had to really dig deep into my strength and resilience.
Mm.
You know, there's lots I could tell you, and this is why I'm a resilience and growth leader, is because it's not just about business.
Mm.
But I can tell you now that loss of your business to this degree, with the amount of, you know, stuff that it just leaves for your clients and your staff and your team, and of that was more of an impact on me as an individual, as a human, than any of the things that had happened in my life, for sure. It was the hardest thing I've ever, ever had to go through.
Okay. Yeah, I can only imagine, because as you say, it's not just you, it's everyone around you that is affected by it, and your staff. And so coming back to that point then, you obviously got your partner to agree to liquidation, I assume. What happened next?
I asked him to remove himself from company's house. So that's what happened. He then became a non-shareholder. And I was then able to take back that control and then appoint the liquidators, which I did straight away.
Yeah.
And I'd already had discussions with them. And they can count it as mismanagement on my part in terms of cash flow and how things were left for some of my creditors. But also on the other hand of this, and this is the important bit, is, you know, my business was essentially a viable business, so I still had to run it.
Right, okay.
So as a business owner, you know, limited company, when you're in that position where you have to go in and still try and get business, still charge your clients, even though you know everything about all going underneath and your ethos and everything about your business is about being clear and transparent, goes against all of your value, you know, all of your values and beliefs.
Yeah. So you really kind of feel like you're not being true to yourself, and then
all your clients.
Yeah. And
all your staff.
Yeah. And I wouldn't ever say kind of being dishonest or lying, but that must be how it feels because it's your business and it's you know, you're not able to do things in the way that you wanted to at that point in time.
Yeah. And from the November to the February, things had just got even worse. And I remember being so numbed by the pressure and the stresses that my body was just going through. I literally, as soon as I went into the office, to the very last moment, I was trying everything I could, selling the business, trying to sell some of the stock, trying to just literally reduce some of the costs.
Yeah.
I remember having conversations with what I thought was my 50% shareholder business partner and about reducing the cost, so crisis management, so looking at doing things to try and reduce the overheads. And I remember him categorically turning around to me and saying, you keep where you are, keep what you're doing, because I don't want people from the outside world to see that, you know, anything's changing.
Wow.
And those words, you know, and now when I talk about that, it's like, God, if only I had done what I felt was right.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I felt that there was going to be, you know, an investor that would come in, save the, you know, the business, and we would work together, and it just didn't happen, and it was just awful. I've got children here at home, and they saw me just breaking. One of the ladies had worked for me for over 10 years, and she was pregnant at the time, and we were trying to sort of keep everybody informed. And when everything all went, you know, the day where I walked in and said to my staff, that's it, with the liquidator, it was just the most horrific experience. And then they take away all your IP and they take away all your, so you can't even communicate with your clients. It was just, and it was very much in the public eye. I had press attacks and, you know, so it was just awful. And I did break and I was suicidal and, you know, my children and my family had to see me, just somebody who was a strong, confident leader, successful, just crumbled to the point where they couldn't even come out of their house. Wow. And they felt so numb with shame and fear and guilt. And so, you know, it's good to share truths, because going back to anybody that's listening, it's, yes, there's some emotions there, but there's some really important lessons. And I really just want to make sure that, you know, for anybody that has a vision to create their own business, for anybody that's got real clarity about what it is they want to achieve, you know, there is a lot of shiny out there, but this story just demonstrates more than anything that it's so important to be really careful as a business owner, and not just own your business, but take responsibility for it too. You know, so if cash flow is feeling a bit tight, you know, right now as we're going through a global recession, if you're in business and you used to look at your accounts once every quarter, remove that back now and maybe do it once a week or even daily. Really understand where your finances are. Don't feel ashamed if you're struggling. Actually, you know, if we fail in business, it's okay.
Yes.
You know, it is okay to stop trading. It is okay. It's not the end. Yeah. And I think this is where a lot of stigma is attached to failure. But it's better to stop something when it's not a viable business proposition, then keep going and run yourself down and take people with you. It's just not, so that's one of the things. And the diligence as well. If you ever go into a partnership, you know, there should be more board meetings, there should be documentation of, you know, things that you decide. And if you go into that, then legal protection, because even if cash flow isn't there, my God, you know, if I'd had protection behind me, it would have been a lot easier, and I would have had protection myself, and I would have been able to have protected my own assets.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it? I mean, I guess if you're going into a partnership with someone, you have to have the trust there, and you know, even someone who you might have known for a very long period of time, doesn't matter what trust there is, you've got to get that legal side done and sorted. But yeah, it's just important to do that due diligence, isn't it? It's essential.
Absolutely. It's 100% essential. I was fortunate that I had all the emails to protect myself, you know, about not making costs or changes, and about, so I had all of that there. Which, you know, for me, at least I had the emails.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not the same as having proper legal protection. And for me, I acted out, I reacted as opposed to being proactive in business.
Yeah.
So I was being driven by crisis rather than actually going in with a clear, which is why I'm so passionate about now helping people to go through clearly and concisely and get that protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't see it when you're in it.
No, so, and as you're saying, when you're in it, you're just reacting to whatever it might be. And it's really hard to take that step back and be proactive and almost get your ducks in a row. You know, it's hard to do that. And I think that the more people can get things kind of embedded properly at the outset, the better. And it doesn't feel like a priority either, because you're just, you know, moving on with whatever the plan is that you're doing. And it's tough. There's another point you mentioned, which was about the kind of shame side of things. And I think that is awful that still today people do feel ashamed of kind of the things that go wrong. And actually this world and the that we're currently in, there is absolutely no shame in it, in things going wrong. And also, I would always rather have a go, and then if it doesn't go to plan, well, at least I've had a go. But you know, it's that whole regret kind of thing. You don't regret the things that you've done. You regret the things you haven't done. Have I got that right? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know the phrase I'm trying to get to, and I just think, you know, there really should be no shame or stigma attached to businesses going wrong. Businesses do go wrong, and you know, you can't control everything, can you?
You can't, and I mean, I take full responsibility of everything, because as an owner of a business, I think you have to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, anything, you know, going forward now, this is why, you know, I share this with people, is because I feel 100% responsible.
Yeah.
But the guilt and the shame comes from, as we go back to the beginning, is when you become an entrepreneur and what you put into your business. So it can be sacrifice of time with your loved ones and family and friends when you're working basically your ass off. Investment as well. I mean, I had invested over 100,000 into my business over the years. So,
yeah,
you know, all of that money, I didn't go on holiday for 7 years. You know, there's lots of sacrifices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
So you become so ingrained in your business that the moment things aren't right, it would be so much easier if you took the emotion out and you reacted, you know, proactively with logic.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not enough money to pay staff. Right. Well, time to stop now.
Yeah.
But 13 years or 12 years in business, but okay, so I can create another department, I can bring some more money in. It's okay that I'm doing this for a moment, because I'll be able to, you know, bring in and do things differently. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, okay, I've got a business partner. So you start to do things that maybe allow your mind to kind of think, right, okay, so this is all going to work out. It's a really tough time. Entrepreneurs, we're strong, we can face the world. And if that doesn't happen, then it, you know, you have to take the responsibility, because you've taken the risks and it hasn't worked.
So,
and when it's so publicly aired like it was as well, you know, you just feel that you've let everybody down, including your family, your sons, including yourself. And that shame comes from having to do things that were against, you know, my values and my beliefs. And you know, so if you ever find yourself in that position, just try what I do now is I work with clients about crisis management, which is actually putting So thinking about what would happen if my business failed now in the calm, rather than actually when you're in that kind of SHIT storm.
Yeah, okay.
It's easier to see, isn't it, when you're coming from a place of strength and clarity. But when you're in the thick of it, it is so hard. I mean, you know, to say that I would walk into the office, I would be so mortified that my whole body would have stress inside, that I would suddenly get to my desk and I would be shaking. I'd have to smile at the staff. Yeah, everything's good. Okay, so can we have that meeting? Yes, we can have that. I'd have to, you know, sit and have meetings with staff about them making plans about them. And I'm thinking, I can't afford to, you know, for marketing, and we've got to set budgets. And then you start to talk to staff about this, and then they then become twitchy, and you're worried that you're going to lose your best negotiator, or you're going to lose your best. So it's a real fine line. And I would leave the office sometimes so stressed, always late to pick up my children, because I was trying desperately to, you know, to make sure that my business actually succeeded and didn't fail. That I would then go to the car park and think, where is my car? Because I'd lost track of even driving in the morning. That's how stressed I was.
Yeah.
And then I go home and I try and be with the children, but I wasn't really with the children. And then as soon as they'd go to bed, I would be working. I would be looking at cash flow. I would be up till midnight trying so hard. I was so strong for so long. And this is what I would hate for any other entrepreneur to do, is it is better to look at your business and, rather than 3, 6, 12 months or even 3 years of really trying and putting yourself constantly in the situation that I was in, where you're stressed, where you're just looking at things and trying, not quite getting. I'd rather that somebody said, okay, that's enough for me, 3 months in. Because when you come out of your business, and this is what we'll talk about now, hopefully, is actually what I thought was the end. And I really did think it was the end. I mean, I was so low. When you think it's the end, if somebody had given me like a, this is how it feels now, but look, this is where you're going to be, I would have gone, what? I'm going to be, I've never coached and mentored, but I did. I was with a business with 8 staff, so I was coaching and mentoring them.
Yeah.
So actually, yes. Do I enjoy it? Yes. How much do I live with intent and purpose now to how I was back then? It's a completely different string.
Okay.
But it, in that moment when everything was going wrong, I couldn't see past it.
Yeah. So
how, survival.
How did you get through that time? Because then you're starting to outline more of the positives in the kind of long run. But how do you get through that time where you can't see that yet? And did you have any strategies that maybe any of our listeners could benefit from hearing about?
Yeah. I mean, the first things that I did was I started to chunk things down.
Okay.
So I was always such a wildly frigging driven person that I'd have my whole year mapped out to the point where I know, you know. So I decided that actually, rather than looking at that plan, I would bring it down and just look at, you know, a quarterly or a monthly or a weekly. And I said that about cash flow, but this was about business objectives too.
Yeah.
Real communication, you know, with team. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, was going around with a smile but inside really broken. But I did genuinely believe that it was going to be okay.
Okay.
And so I you know, if I'd have thought things were going to fail and, you know, the business would stop, then I wouldn't have carried on trying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I say about actually, you know, sometimes, you know, that diligence, that feeling of, you know, things are going to be okay, is the ability to be able to make fast decisions with logic rather than the emotions.
Yeah.
And it's such a hard thing to do.
How do you strip away those emotions and just put your logical head on? I mean, I don't know, do you give yourself a good talking to? Does someone else have to kind of step in to help you see things? What worked for you?
what worked for me was just realizing that actually, you know, this isn't going to work. This particular business owner that had come in, this isn't going to work. Mm. And as soon as I'd made that decision, I was like, right, okay, liquidators, we have to go through this. And it was, you know, that moment where some people say, oh, I had to take a new pair of pants. It was literally everything just in my stomach. The same as going in and telling my staff that this was it, we were closing.
Mm.
Such a gut-wrenching, horrific thing to do. Mm. But it's taking control and being really realistic with, you know, where you are and accepting where you are.
Yeah,
those are the real key things, really.
And I guess once you've taken that control and made that decision that maybe you've been putting off for a while, then I guess that then in itself helps you then start to be able to move on a little bit. You know, because I imagine once you told your team and once you've started that go, you've then started a process that is slightly out of your control because it started. So you have to then make the best of that process.
I think my situation was different because I wasn't fully in control because of having the business partner. So then once I'd reclaimed my control, so that took a little while, then I was able to make faster decisions. But when I talk to clients that are going through, you know, maybe not the same circumstances as me, but, you know, so for instance, I had a lady that rang me over the weekend, just mortified in tears because since, you know, for pretty much a whole year, she's been trying to earn a second income, invested in this, and it's not working. And so she's drained and tired and low self-worth. And I said, look, it's okay to say I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
The moment that you free your mind of that extra pressure on yourself, the moment that you give yourself permission to not judge yourself.
Yeah.
And the quicker you make that decision, actually, it frees you up. It creates a void where instead of the things that are holding you down and putting immense pressure on you, it frees you to step in and own, you know, you as a person.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You almost kind of get yourself back and kind of remember how you used to be before you were in this crisis. And I know we've touched on a couple of times your current business and your current successes, but I imagine when you lost your business, it must have been such a knock to your confidence. So how did you regain that belief that you could be successful again?
That was a very, 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 very hard thing.
Mm.
Huge hard. It was small steps.
Okay.
I couldn't even leave the house for a short time to go to my local shop. I would be so teary and just numb. Mm. It took me a while to come through, and I think the first steps, and for anybody that's ever been in that situation where they're truly broken, and I mean really broken, you have to rediscover who you are. You have to reconnect with yourself again.
Yeah.
And through the 40 years of my life, I had never really connected with myself because I'd had adversity in my personal life and professional. But when the business closed, not only did I lose the business, but I had to go bankrupt. I lost my, I lost possessions, so materials. I'd lost my investment, so money. And I mean, even now we're selling our house because it's an enforced sale. So losses come.
Yeah.
So you can try and gain your confidence, but you're restricted in a certain element because you've suffered losses too.
Yeah.
And there'll be people now that have had to go from their, what they've worked really hard for, their 4 or 5 bedroom house, their really smart cars. I had a BMW 4 Series, brand new. And I'd, my money, not the business, my money I'd invested into my car.
Mm-hmm.
And it got driven away. So there'll be other people that are in this situation now,
yes,
where they've seen their own losses, things that they've worked so hard for.
Yeah.
And so again, I talk about losses, but do you know what? The biggest and the most precious gift that that has given me, and hopefully if anybody's listening, may give them, is it gives you a new perspective on what is really important in the world, in life.
Yeah.
You literally wake up every day thinking, what am I grateful for?
Yeah.
So at that breaking point, when all the losses, business and everything else, I thought about extreme gratitude. Not just gratitude, what am I grateful for today? It was extreme gratitude. Okay, so I feel suicidal, but guess what? If one of my boys wasn't here, how would I feel as a mum? Well, I'm not going to do what I'm thinking about because that worries me more. Okay. And those little steps to help me to move forward, and they were tiny steps, and sometimes they go back.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would go forward. But I know that I gained strength, resilience, and this is where I grew my survival wings.
Okay. I like that phrase, survival wings, and it must be, you must almost feel, because of the experience you've had, you must perhaps feel equipped to deal with almost anything now. And that those survival wings must be standing you in good stead for all the things that are going on now. So you're talking about, you know, the fact that you're going to have to sell your house, but yet you're still moving forwards and running a business. And, you know, you're obviously in a very different position to how you were at the time.
Well, it is 2 years on. And the process of liquidation and bankruptcy and all of that take time.
Mm.
So you do learn patience,
okay.
You know, that's for sure, as well as gratitude and various other things.
And I suppose that's also part of the focus that kind of started your whole thing when you set up your business, is that you know you've got that focus, and so you know, therefore, you've done it once, you can do it again, and that must bring power to you going forward, surely.
It does, and you learn what actually, because I was in my own bubble, if you like.
Mm.
When you start working with other business owners, you well, for me anyway, I mean, obviously it's very different for everyone, but I was like, that's easy. What? You don't even do that? And I then started to realise that actually how it gave me great confidence.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have an ego. I don't have anything to prove. I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
What it gave me was inner belief in myself and knowing what I was good at, and what I'm good at is helping other people. I've always led with love in everything I do, and I'm a protector.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing what I do now, more than anything else, is about helping other people to see actually how you can do things, how you can avoid things, how you can get growth in maybe taking that risk, and it's, business is so multidimensional. But it's also about, right at the beginning, we were saying about that, no, you know, always that shiny delivery. I cut through all of that because I just give people what they need to know, which is the truth.
Yeah.
That to me is really, really important. And that's why I think after everything I've been through, that's why I'm here. It's hard sometimes to talk about the truths, but they are needed now more than ever.
And I guess at the time you were going through all of the stuff with closing your business, you might not have been aware of the truths at that time, or you might not have had anyone able to give you those truths, which I think is probably why you're so passionate now about doing it now for people and, you know, listeners to this podcast who are thinking of setting up something themselves. To hear the honest story of the impact on you and your experience, I think is really helpful, because, you know, times can be tough, and yes, that whatever someone is setting up might ultimately fail, but actually that's okay if it does. And from what you've been saying, you know, it is fine, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything personal against you as an individual. I mean, it's not necessarily you that's failed, it's the business and it's the other circumstances around it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, as all of this goes on, it adds to your strengths and your character and your knowledge, and it gives you ability to be able to empathize and, you know, help and support and guide others. So for anybody that's listening to this interview, I think it's so important to just take some of these little lessons away. And I think, you know, when I signed that personal guarantee, I never realized or even thought for one minute that my business would go. Well, yeah. The personal guarantee led to me having to go bankrupt, you know, and then I lost my car. And so it's protecting your assets as well, what you've worked hard for.
Yeah.
There's just so many different lessons that had, you know, when some people say, oh, well, if you were a little girl, what would you say to yourself? You know, go back. Yeah. Well, if I was a new entrepreneur, okay, what would I say to new entrepreneurs? I would say, well done. Well done for taking bold action, for actually being courageous and starting to do something on your own two feet.
Yeah.
I would say be really careful, be protective about your cash flow. You know, always deliver, add value. Always look at your clients. How can you serve them even better? And lots of people say all of these things, like, oh, your vision, your purpose and your mission and blah, 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 blah. What's your why? And blah, 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 blah. But I would then say this. I would say, and it is really important that people understand this, is, are you prepared to go into business knowing that actually it might not work?
Right.
So you need to take that responsibility on the head. And if it doesn't work, are you prepared to be able to come out of it as soon as you identify that your business isn't profitable anymore? But at the same time, understand that all of the things that you learn give you a huge amount of knowledge and character and strength. So it's okay if it doesn't work, because you can come out of it over the other side a stronger person, maybe.
Yeah.
But cash flow is really important. Due diligence is really, really important. Yeah. And just having, you know, your systems and processes really robust. And in the changing world, in the new entrepreneurial world, it's about being really resilient and adaptive and just constantly being top of your game.
Yeah. So in thinking of kind of your experience over the kind of last few years, do you think you've learned more through the adversity or through your successes?
Maybe the losses, painful as they were, because they hurt more.
So I would agree that, you know, we all love to be successful and to kind of take that success and know that we're doing a good job. But also when things are tough and we work our way through them and we have to face those difficult decisions, I think that actually probably is more character building. And I think you do learn more from that. So I just think that I agree with your perspective. I mean, I've not had the same experience as you, but from my own experiences, the tough times are what makes you in a way, I think, and you can turn them around to be actually quite positive.
You can. And I think one of the things that I failed actually to say, and it might be because I talk a lot about this, is, you know, and I try not to say it in kind of a more, but how many lives are lost through entrepreneurs that are trying, like, especially, you know, men in business, where they're earning, they've got, you know, wife, daughter, to the outside world they're successful. When things don't go right, especially as a male entrepreneur, I think it was harder for me because I was, you know, a mum on my own.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many lives do we have to lose to suicide because of this?
Yeah.
It's a really sad. So always, even when things are really hard, and you may even think that nobody will understand, because I know that I could talk to my mum and she wouldn't understand what being an owner of a business was about. I could talk to the staff, but they wouldn't really get it because they're not taking the financial rewards.
Yeah.
In the end, I did actually, I reached out And I reached out to a gentleman that owns a new homes company, and I said, oh my God, I'm so ashamed, you know, but this has happened. What do I do? Mm. He immediately said, right, you need to act fast, make decisions. And that's the thing. It will feel really difficult, but the most important thing that you can do is just hold your hand out and say, I need help.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
You know, this smile is fake. It's not real. Inside, I'm breaking. And that's, we can't keep losing lives to people's egos, to people's judgments.
Yeah.
You know, when the press attacked me, when people, all of that, it was horrible, but they didn't know the facts. But they didn't ask either. You know, so it's, and the business community that I'd been part of, privileged, proud, stood strong, worked so hard for, a lot of them were just gone.
Just like that. Yeah.
Because people want success, people want shiny, but they don't want the hard, tough bit.
Yeah.
And this is, again, you know, hold your hand out to other people. Ask them, are you okay? I remember there was a lady called Sandra, her and her husband Phil. They were one of the rare people that kept asking, are you okay? Do you want to meet for a coffee? Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other people that had lost their business, only two of them. But Stuart and Clive, both of them said, let's meet up, because they knew how it is to lose your business. And so two things here. Number one is hold your hand out if you need help and support.
Yeah.
And number two, if you see somebody struggling, don't judge. Get in there and ask them, are they okay? And really okay.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, are you all right today? You had a good day? But no, do you need my help and support? And I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to listen.
Yeah, and being open and receptive to that. So sometimes we might ask people if they're okay, but we're not actually interested in the answer. And actually that you know, as the person being asked, that it's just a pleasantry. But yeah, you need to really kind of ask properly in a way that the other person will feel that they can open up, because, you know, you're keeping the facade going, but without those people asking if you're okay, how much longer could you have done that for? You know, and it's really, really difficult. I do think one of the few positives about the world we're in now is that there's better awareness of kind of mental health problems and people's well-being in that way. So I think that today people might be more likely to kind of have access to those support networks. And
I disagree.
At least I hope so. I hope my perception of that is right.
I disagree. I think there are so many people right now that are, you know, not speaking out because we're isolated more, not able to reach, don't have that human connection, feel that they don't have anybody they can talk to and communicate. So they're kind of cut off.
Right.
And it's a real shame because, you know, looking at the stats of people taking their own lives, you know, this last quarter, it's gone up 30%.
30. Wow.
And that's purely based on, you know, COVID and the, you know, the external, and there are the uncontrollables, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, we can't control the fact that we're all being told that we should be in, we should work from home, But it's stopping people from that real communication. And if I can't see you, I'm working in my own bubble, in my own home. How does that person that's suffering, how do they get themselves in there and hold their hand up with a white flag? You can't. So they then feel isolated. They don't know who to talk to. And it's real sad. It's really sad. And it's why I'm so, I just want people to know that it's not, you don't need to be ashamed. You know, you can be in a place where you're not judged.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to work so hard for something and to see it all go. And you know, I think it's so difficult right now for people in that situation. But also, if you're starting out in business on your own, and again, it's hard as well because you haven't got that support network. They often say, don't they, you're the influence of the, you're the equation, sorry, to the, your five influences that are around you.
You're
working from home and you haven't got those external influences around you, it's pretty difficult. So this is why I love podcasting, because you can listen and you can learn through listening to other people's podcasts, and they're invaluable. But yeah, if anybody is listening, by the way, I mean, I don't, but they feel that they're that person that are on their own, I hope it's okay. But, you know, I would hate for anybody to feel that. So, you know, I, if anybody feels like that, then I'm here, and I'm sure that you are as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I just think that by that very act of reaching out to someone, that is then them taking control of the situation a bit more. And the situation is out of our hands at the moment. There's so much that we can't do. So why don't we do those little things that we can do? But it's recognizing that and then taking that baby step, as you said earlier, that's hard to see, isn't it?
But the thing is, there are so many positives in this new world, and it's, you know, like right now more than ever, we all need to be working towards that kind of positive mindset and actually taking those risks and feeling supported by others around us. And the only way it's going to get better is if we step outside of our comfort zone, if you like, literally just step out there over that edge.
Yeah.
Because nothing's going to change if we just keep kind of stepping backwards.
Yeah.
So, the recession is here, the economy, the global, it's only going to get better by global strength. So working together as a collective, business owners working, supporting together, sod competition, you know, and actually just helping each other to grow forwards. And this is what, you know, hopefully, you know, for me, it's also, it's not always like the emotion and the downsides, but there are some really good positives too.
Yeah.
To come out of this. The biggest thing I think for new entrepreneurs is to have clarity. Complete crystal clear clarity is absolute. Like, be specific about your business objectives. Be specific about how you're going to do it. What your client needs now, not 5 years, like right now, how can you help them? Don't be scared to invest either. You know, have that prosperity mindset rather than that, you know, don't, just because things knock you, it doesn't mean that you can't invest, especially in yourself.
Yeah.
I think forgive yourself sometimes as well. You know, actually recognize what you've done and you've achieved. Because as entrepreneurs, it's all about forward, but actually, what have you done? So that would be what I would say to new entrepreneurs, is be brave, but be clear about what it is you want to achieve. And always look at your cash flow and your business objectives. Always.
I think that probably wraps it up. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I really, really appreciate it. And I know your experience has obviously shaped you, and you've been at rock bottom, but you've come through it. And I think that's such an important message for people to hear, because I think a lot of people are feeling a bit kind of, what the heck am I going to do now? I've got no work, and you know, they can't see the wood for the trees. And so I think there's some really important messages from your experience. And I think perhaps one of the most important ones is actually, if you're in that position, reach out and talk to someone and get the support you need. And you know, without reaching out, you'll never know if someone can actually help and change your perspective on something. And the other sort of key message is, give it a go. And it doesn't matter if you kind of fail. This is more in terms of setting up a business rather than kind of dealing with your mindset and your resilience. But yeah, if you don't give it a go, you'll never know, will you?
No. And if it is the end in your mind, it might be the beginning in your mind in 6-12 months time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just recognizing that.
Thank you so much again, Kelly, for coming on today. Really, really enjoyed talking to you. And I'm sure our listeners will have got a huge amount from it as well. So thank you.
I hope so. I hope it's helped. Even if it's just helped one person, then thank you so much for having me on the show and allowing me the space and the time to share my truth. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.